Welcome to another episode of My Weird Prompts, an AI-generated podcast featuring the random prompts of Daniel Rosehill as answered by a revolving cast of friendly AI characters. Join us for deep dives into AI, technology, and whatever other random thing Daniel finds fascinating today. Subscribe on Spotify or your favorite podcatcher. Now, today's episode.
This episode was generated using artificial intelligence. Please verify facts. Here's Daniel's prompt.
Hi there, Herman and Corn. So I've been an Android user for many years now. And as you both know, I'm very interested in voice technology, all aspects of it, voice productivity. Beginning to feel that the recently shared sentiments that this is going to be the year of multimodal AI, that we're waging war on the screen, is actually kind of a well-placed objective. That can really be a credible objective. I'm not sure that, you know, maybe waging war on the screen is the best metaphor, but that we can substantially, you know, offload a lot of work from that's done on screens at the moment to mobile devices. I see huge potential benefits for work-life balance and for healthier work environments with voice tech, so that people can get things done without needing to be tethered to a computer all the time. And I think that's a huge, huge ergonomic benefit that's kind of as important, if not more important, than any, you know, potential productivity gains. So I'm working on, for dictation, I've spent a long time really focused on this aspect of voice tech. Voice typing, did a lot of looking into it last year, and I think I've got some pretty good solutions in place across my devices. The one thing I don't really have is voice control. As I'm a Linux user, and despite some occasional the frustrations of using Linux, I don't have any plans to give it up. There's little still on the market in terms of meaningful computer, OS level computer control in Linux. We talked about that in a different episode. And I think even across Windows and Mac, you know, with MCP, I feel like it's just around the corner that we're going to get some really good and impressive tech, whether it's vision-based, command-line-based, and it'll percolate down to Linux as it usually does. I find stuff boomerangs in Linux. Start the cutting-edge stuff, then goes to Windows and Mac, where the most users are, then it comes back eventually. Maybe a little bit less clear to me what there is. Google Assistant is fading out and in favor of Gemini, but I still don't feel like there's really a very robust way to control an Android with voice commands. You know, stuff like open this, send this email, send this app, close this, do this. At the moment, the voice assistants tend to support specific apps or their ecosystems and not stretch very far beyond that, maybe due to security limitations, but I think we're still quite a way on Android from what I think would be usable voice control, which is you can essentially put your hands in your pocket, put on a Bluetooth headset, and do almost everything, anything you could do. What do you think in terms of where we're heading here in 2026, and what is the best-in-class tooling at the market to actually get more done with your voice on your phone?
Hey, everyone. Welcome back to My Weird Prompts. I am Corn, and I am sitting here on our balcony in Jerusalem, looking out at the city and thinking about how much time I spend looking at this little glass rectangle in my hand instead of at the actual world around me.
And I am Herman Poppleberry. I know exactly what you mean, Corn. It is a beautiful evening, and yet we are both probably one notification away from being sucked back into the digital void. Our housemate Daniel sent us a really thoughtful audio prompt this week that hits right at the heart of this struggle. He has been thinking a lot about voice technology, productivity, and what he calls the war on the screen.
I love that phrasing, the war on the screen. It sounds a bit dramatic, but when you think about the ergonomic toll and the way screens tether us to a specific physical posture, it really does feel like a battle for our freedom of movement. Daniel is a long-time Android and Linux user, and he is looking for that holy grail of being able to do almost everything via a Bluetooth headset without ever having to touch his phone.
It is a bold vision, and honestly, it is one that the industry has been promising for a decade. But here we are in January of 2026, and while we have made massive strides in multimodal artificial intelligence, that seamless, eyes-free experience still feels a little bit out of reach for the average user. Daniel pointed out that while voice dictation has gotten incredibly good, actual voice control over the operating system is still a bit of a mess.
Exactly. There is a huge difference between my phone being able to transcribe my rambling thoughts into a coherent email, and my phone being able to actually navigate the interface of a third-party app to perform a specific task. One is just pattern recognition on audio data, while the other requires a deep understanding of the software's structure and the ability to execute actions on the user's behalf.
Right, and that is where things get technical. For a long time, voice assistants were basically just glorified shortcut triggers. You would say a specific phrase, and if the developer had built a specific hook for that phrase, something would happen. But if you strayed from the script, the whole thing would fall apart. Now, with the rise of large action models and things like the model context protocol that Daniel mentioned, we are starting to see a shift toward agents that can actually reason about what they see on the screen.
I want to dig into that shift, but first let's talk about the ergonomics. Daniel mentioned that reducing screen dependence is a credible objective for work-life balance. I find that fascinating. If I can go for a walk and handle my correspondence or organize my calendar using just my voice, my relationship with my work changes. I am no longer hunched over a desk. My blood is flowing. I am engaging with my environment. It feels more human, doesn't it?
Absolutely. There is a physiological component to this. When we stare at screens, our blink rate drops, our neck muscles tighten, and we enter this sort of narrow, high-focus state that can be very draining. Voice-first interaction allows for a more peripheral, relaxed cognitive load. You are still being productive, but you are doing it in a way that respects your body's need for movement.
But the frustration Daniel is feeling is real. He mentioned that even with Gemini on Android, he doesn't feel like he has robust control. Why is that? We are in 2026. Google has poured billions into this. Why can't I just tell my phone to find that one photo of a cat I took 3 years ago and send it to my mom on Telegram without me having to touch anything?
It comes down to the permissions model and the siloed nature of apps. Historically, mobile operating systems were built to keep apps in their own little boxes for security reasons. One app couldn't easily see what another app was doing or tell it what to do. Voice assistants were granted special privileges, but they still had to rely on these rigid APIs. What we are seeing now with multimodal models is the ability for the AI to essentially look at the screen as if it were a human user.
So instead of needing a special backdoor into the app, the AI is just interpreting the visual elements?
Exactly. This is what people call pixel-based control. If the AI can see the send button, it can click the send button. But that is computationally expensive and has massive privacy implications. Do you really want an AI model constantly scraping your screen and sending those frames to a server to be analyzed? That is the tension we are navigating right now.
I can see why a Linux user like Daniel would be especially sensitive to that. If you are running Linux, you are usually doing it because you want control and privacy. He mentioned that there is very little on the market for meaningful OS-level computer control on Linux. Herman, you are the resident Linux enthusiast. Is it really that bleak?
It is a bit of a paradox. In some ways, Linux is the perfect playground for this because everything is open. You can hook into the window manager, you can script almost anything. But because the user base is smaller and more fragmented, there isn't a single polished consumer product that ties it all together. We have things like Open Interpreter, which is fantastic for power users who want to run code via voice, but it is not exactly a plug-and-play solution for someone who just wants to manage their desktop while they're making cake.
You always bring it back to sandwiches, Herman. But you are right. The friction is the problem. If it takes me 10 seconds of voice commands to do something I could do in 2 seconds with a mouse, I am going to use the mouse every time. The voice interface has to be at least as efficient as the physical one, or it has to offer a benefit that outweighs the inefficiency, like being able to do it while your hands are covered in flour.
Or while you are driving or walking. That is the key. It is about expanding the contexts in which we can be productive. But let's take a quick break for our sponsors, and when we come back, I want to talk about the boomerang effect that Daniel mentioned and what the actual best-in-class tools are in 2026.
Good idea. Let's see what Larry has for us today.
Are you ciders? That's about it, Nate. I beat in Heidi Beedritine, Eider Tummy Nane File Minus Scent Algae, and Micro Encapsulated Honey to coat your vocal cords in a shimmering layer of pure authority. One spray, and you will sound like a Shakespearean actor, or a shake, or a late night radio host. Use report, a 30% increase in their face in the phone's ability to actually toist. Dear Vels, did side. Scoger your comicoder to the bulk and the dwarfy clip.
Oh boy, I think I will stick to water, thanks. Larry really outdid himself with the bioluminescent algae this time.
I don't know, Herman. A golden tongue might be a good look for you. Anyway, back to the topic. Daniel mentioned the boomerang effect, where cutting-edge tech starts on Windows and Mac because that is where the users are, and then it eventually makes its way back to Linux in a more robust form. Do you see that happening with voice control?
I do, actually. We are seeing a lot of development in what is called the Model Context Protocol, or MCP. This is basically a standardized way for AI models to interact with different tools and data sources. Instead of every app developer having to write a custom integration for every AI, they just implement the MCP. It is like a universal translator for software. And because it is an open standard, the Linux community is jumping all over it.
That is interesting. So it is not about the AI getting smarter at guessing what a button does. It is about the software itself being more communicative about its own capabilities.
Exactly. It is moving from the AI being an outside observer to being a first-class citizen in the operating system. On Android, we are seeing this with the evolution of Gemini. In the last year, Google has moved away from the old assistant architecture and is trying to bake Gemini directly into the system level. But it is a slow process because they have to maintain backward compatibility for millions of devices.
Daniel asked about the best-in-class tooling currently on the market. If he wants to get more done with his voice on his phone right now, in early 2026, what should he be looking at?
For an Android user like Daniel, the landscape is shifting. If you want true hands-free control, you have to look beyond the built-in assistants. There is a project called Voice Access that Google has had for a while, which was originally an accessibility tool. It overlays numbers or names on every interactable element on the screen. It is not pretty, but it is incredibly robust. You can say, click for, or scroll down, and it just works.
That sounds a bit clunky for everyday use, though. It is like navigating a website by typing in the coordinates of every link.
It is, but for someone like Daniel who wants to keep his phone in his pocket, it is the most reliable way to bridge the gap until the agents get better. However, the real cutting-edge stuff right now is coming from smaller, more nimble players. There are apps like Talos and various wrappers for large action models that are starting to allow for more natural language control. You can say, hey, check my last three emails from Korn and summarize them, and it will actually open the app, read the data, and speak the summary back to you.
I have been playing around with some of those, and the latency is the biggest hurdle. If I have to wait 5 seconds for the model to process my request, the flow is broken. We talked about this in episode 249 when we discussed the voice wall. The speed of the interaction is just as important as the accuracy.
That is where the local processing comes in. In 2026, we are finally seeing mobile chips that can run smaller, highly optimized models locally. This reduces the latency significantly and addresses a lot of those privacy concerns Daniel would have. If the voice processing and the action planning are happening on the device, nothing ever has to leave your pocket.
So, let's look at the Linux side for a second. Daniel is a Linux user. If he wants to control his desktop with his voice, what is the move?
There is a fantastic open source project called Talon Voice. It is incredibly powerful, but has a bit of a steep learning curve. It allows for highly customizable voice commands and even uses eye tracking if you have the hardware. For someone who wants to code or do complex OS-level tasks, Talon is the gold standard. It is what a lot of developers who suffer from repetitive strain injury use to stay productive.
I remember we touched on that in episode 221 when we were talking about the polypharmacy of productivity tools. Sometimes the solution to one problem, like neck strain from screens, is a complex software stack that introduces its own kind of mental fatigue.
That is a great point, Korn. There is a cognitive overhead to learning a whole new way of interacting with your computer. You have to memorize the commands. You have to learn how to speak in a way the machine understands. It is not as natural as it sounds, but once you hit that flow state, it is like magic. You are just thinking and speaking, and things are happening.
Daniel's vision of doing almost everything via a Bluetooth headset is so compelling. Imagine walking through the park in Jerusalem, and instead of stopping to pull out your phone every time you get a message, you just have a quick conversation with your agent. You can dictate a response, add a task to your to-do list, or even ask it to read you the headlines from your favorite tech blog.
We are getting there. The multimodal aspect is the final piece of the puzzle. In 2026, these models aren't just listening to your voice, they are understanding the context of your day. They know where you are, they know what you were working on 10 minutes ago, and they can use that information to make better decisions. If you say, "Send that file to Daniel," the AI knows exactly which file and which Daniel you are talking about because it has that persistent memory.
We actually did a whole episode on that recently, episode 251, about AI memory versus retrieval augmented generation. Having that long-term intelligence is what turns a voice assistant from a tool into a partner. But I want to push back a little on the ergonomics. If we are talking all day, aren't we just trading neck strain for vocal strain?
That is a very Korn question. And you are right. Vocal fatigue is a real thing. Professional singers and speakers have to train their voices to avoid injury. If the general public starts talking to their devices for 8 hours a day, we might see a rise in vocal cord nodules and other issues. Maybe Larry's throat spray isn't such a bad idea after all.
Don't give him the satisfaction, Herman. But it does point to the fact that voice isn't a silver bullet. It is one tool in the toolbox. The real goal is multimodality. Sometimes voice is best. Sometimes a quick tap on a smartwatch is better. And sometimes you really do need a big screen and a keyboard.
Exactly. It is about the right interface for the right context. For Daniel, the best-in-class setup right now on Android would probably be a combination of Gemini for general queries and a more specialized agent for app-level control. On Linux, it is definitely Talon Voice or a custom-configured Open Interpreter setup.
One thing Daniel mentioned that I found interesting was the idea that even on Android, voice assistants still don't offer robust control. I think part of that is a design choice. Google and Apple want to keep you in their ecosystems. They want you to use their apps. True OS level control would mean the AI could easily jump between their apps and their competitors' apps, which doesn't always align with their business models.
That is the corporate wall, and it is why the open source community is so important in this space. Projects that use the Model Context Protocol are trying to break down those walls by creating a common language for all software. If Daniel wants a truly robust experience, he might have to lean more into those open source solutions that prioritize interoperability over ecosystem lock-in.
So, what is the practical takeaway for someone like Daniel who wants to reduce screen dependence?
First, I would say embrace the learning curve of tools like Talon or Voice Access. They aren't as intuitive as a touchscreen, but they are the most powerful options we have right now. Second, keep an eye on the hardware. In 2026, we are seeing the rise of dedicated AI wearable devices that are designed from the ground up to be voice first. They often have better microphones and lower latency than a standard phone and headset combo.
And don't forget the low-tech solutions. If you want to spend less time on your screen, sometimes the best thing is to just set clear boundaries. Use voice for the quick stuff, but if a task requires deep focus and a complex interface, wait until you are back at your desk. Don't try to force a voice interface onto a task that was clearly designed for a mouse and keyboard.
That is wise. We are in a transition period. We are moving from a world where we had to adapt to the machine's limitations to a world where the machine is finally starting to adapt to ours. It is messy and frustrating at times, but the direction is clear. We are moving toward a more ergonomic, more human-centric way of computing.
I think Daniel is right to be excited about it. The benefits for work-life balance are huge. If I can finish my work while I am out for a walk, that is time I get back to spend with my friends, or reading a book, or just being present in the world. It is about reclaiming our attention.
It really is. And I think by the end of 2026, we are going to see a massive leap in how these agents handle complex, multi-step tasks. The research being done right now on autonomous agents is mind-blowing. We are moving past the era of assistant and into the era of the agent.
I'm looking forward to that. I want an agent that can handle the boring stuff so I can focus on the interesting stuff. Like talking to you, Herman.
I am flattered, Korn. Although I suspect you just want an AI to handle all your emails so you can spend more time napping on the balcony.
You know me too well. But hey, if you are enjoying our deep dives into the weird and wonderful world of technology, we would really appreciate it if you could leave us a review on your favorite podcast app. It really helps other people find the show and keeps us motivated to keep digging into these prompts.
It genuinely does. We love hearing from you all. And if you have a question or a topic you want us to explore, you can always get in touch via the contact form on our website, myweirdprompts.com. We have the full archive there, including all those past episodes we mentioned today.
This has been a great discussion. Thanks to Daniel for sending this in. It is a topic that affects all of us, whether we realize it or not. The way we interact with our tools shapes the way we interact with the world.
Well said, Korn. I think I am going to put my phone away now and actually enjoy this sunset. Maybe I will even try narrating it in the third person, just to see if Larry's spray was onto something.
Please don't. I don't think Jerusalem is ready for a Poppleberry monologue.
Fair enough. Until next time, everyone.
This has been My Weird Prompts. You can find us on Spotify and at myweirdprompts.com. Thanks for listening.
Goodbye from Jerusalem.
Let's see if we can go 5 minutes without checking our phones.
I'll give you 3 minutes.
Deal.
Starting now.
Is that your phone vibrating?
No, that was yours.
Oh man, this is going to be harder than I thought.
We really need those voice agents, Korn. We really do.
Anyway, thanks for sticking with us. We will be back next week with another prompt from Daniel.
See you then.
And remember, if you see a man with a golden tongue narrating his life in the streets of Jerusalem, that is probably just Herman.
Hey.
Just kidding. Mostly.
All right. Let's go get some dinner.
Sounds good. I'll use my voice to order.
Good luck with that. The guy at the falafel stand isn't exactly a large action model.
We'll see.
Goodbye, everyone.
Bye.
Actually, wait. Did we mention the website?
Yes, Herman. I said it twice. Myweirdprompts.com.
Right. Is making sure my memory isn't as good as those AI models we were talking about?
Clearly. Maybe we should get you a RAG system.
Very funny. Let's go.
Okay. We're really leaving now.
See ya.
Bye.
Wait. One more thing.
Herman.
Okay, I'm going.
This has been My Weird Prompts. Truly, finally, goodbye.
But you, now.
Herman, don't do that.
Sorry. Couldn't resist.
Let's go.
I'm right behind you.
Walking away from the microphones now.
Yup.
Still walking.
Still here.
Okay, we're done.
Done.
Completely.
Absolutely.
Pow.
Discrem.
Okay, now we're done.
Good.
Great.
Bye.
Bye.
This episode was generated using Gemini Flash 3. Text-to-speech engine was Chatterbox Turbo.
Thanks for listening to another episode of My Weird Prompts, an AI-generated podcast featuring Daniel Rosehill's AI prompts, as answered by a revolving cast of friendly AI characters including me, Cornelius the Sloth. Subscribe on Spotify or visit myweirdprompts.com.